I want to thank Janie for those excellent quotes from wonderful friends of us all that tie in so nicely with the scriptures and the message for today. As we prepare to hear God's word, let's pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Gracious God, open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our hearts that we may believe and change our lives so that we may become your children. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, that very familiar third chapter. I will read verses 1 through 17. Listen, in these words of the Gospel of John, for God's word to us this morning. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could do these things, these signs that you do, apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. For what is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, and in it he plays on some of these same themes about being children, being born again. I will read from the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17. Listen in these verses of Paul for God's word to us today. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. This, too, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I had our annual beach vacation. It was, as always, wonderful. We go to Holden Beach, where there is really nothing much to do. And that is exactly what we want. We play games, we read books, we fix good food, we watch the Detroit Tigers. Man, are they having a great year. And we laugh a lot. It is a respite from the hustle and bustle of ordinary life. A week at the beach is a gift, a bit of paradise, a foretaste of God's eternal rest. And so as I unfolded my beach chair and sat down to stare at the waves and listen to the gulls, I simply let my mind wander. Before long, I realized that I was thinking about, of all things, work. Perhaps that's because I recently found myself without it. For the last decade, I have been a professor at St. Andrews. Now who am I? I wondered. Now what shall I do to earn my keep? How will people evaluate my worth? How will I? The other reason I was thinking about work on my vacation is that I am a Presbyterian with a serious and perhaps terminal case of the Protestant work ethic. And I am not alone. In 1904, the sociologist Max Weber wrote, The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism. He argued that the Protestant idea of vocation, particularly in the hands of Calvinists like you and me, helped create modern capitalism and the so-called rat race. It all started with good intentions, a sense that all of life is lived in relationship to God, and a conviction that our daily activities are a way to glorify God and serve our neighbors. It didn't take long, however, for hard work to become a way to prove one's worth, and worldly success a way to display God's approval. Once that happened, the spiritual foundations began to crumble, and now we are left with nothing but anxious striving for success, whatever that means. Protestant Christianity incubated this modern disease, but the infection has spread to the whole population. Today, we find ourselves in what Weber evocatively called the iron cage of capitalism. suffering from endless, anxious striving without any clear sense of why we do it. We keep working and working, hoping that one more accomplishment will finally bring us satisfaction and a sense of self-worth. Television and social media only exacerbate our anxiety and our self-doubt. Why doesn't my house look that beautiful? Why doesn't my work seem that fulfilling? Why isn't my car that nice and my hair that stylish? I must be doing something wrong. And so we redouble our efforts, imagining it is our own fault that we do not measure up, hoping that if we try harder, we will finally achieve the success we seek, and confused that we never quite seem to arrive at that elusive goal. No wonder so many of us look forward to retirement. No more competition, no more rat race. We are done proving our worth, earning our keep, endless vacation. For those of us not yet there, we imagine it will be a great relief, a liberation. Yet many find actual retirement difficult. Throughout our lives, we so identify ourselves with what we do that when we retire, we no longer know who we are. It's tragic. We dream of the day when we will no longer have to agonize over our work or struggle to prove our worth, and yet when we finally get there, we face a crisis of identity and self-worth. It's like that sad old gravestone inscription. Here lies Joe Smith, born a human, died a grocer. We spend so much of our lives identifying with our work that we have forgotten how to be human. We spend so much of our time in the rat race that we no longer realize that we are children of God. Imagine what Nicodemus must have been thinking that evening that he came to Jesus. He was a successful man and justifiably proud of his accomplishments. He was respected in the community, a leader among the Jews. But something was missing. So Nicodemus went to Jesus, who told him that he needed to be born again. Jesus' advice confused and frustrated Nicodemus. He was hoping Jesus would tell him what he needed to do to earn his way into the kingdom of God. But being born again was simply impossible. It was like telling him to catch the wind in his hands. It simply could not be done, no matter how accomplished he was, no matter how hard he worked at it. The lesson for Nicodemus, and for us, I think, is that life and new life, birth and new birth, by their very nature, are gifts that befall us, not accomplishments that we earn. Becoming a child of God is not something we achieve, it is something we receive. What a disappointment. We spend our lives struggling to attain, striving to succeed, sweating to achieve, yet this one most important thing is completely beyond our ability. Finally, the most important aspect of who we are, the most significant part of our identity, is something that's given to us regardless of our achievements or accomplishments. In the passage from Romans that we read this morning, Paul reminds us that we are, first of all, before all, above all, children of God. We are not servants whose worth is measured by their work, whose value is determined by their accomplishments. We are not slaves of the rat race or anything else. Or, as Paul put it, when we cry, Abba, Daddy, Father, it is the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Unfortunately, like Nicodemus, we spend most of our lives measuring ourselves and others by accomplishments, achievements, and titles. Unfortunately, like Nicodemus, we spend most of our lives trying to earn something that is already ours. Perhaps it's time for all of us to reevaluate our lives, our sense of purpose, our vocation. Perhaps it's time for us to be born again. And perhaps retirement, vacation, and even losing one's job are a good image for what that means. It is only when we stop earning, competing, striving, that we learn who we truly are. Those saved by grace, not merit. And so we Christians practice a form of retirement each week throughout our lives. Each Sunday, we take a little vacation from the rat race for a moment and remember that our worth is measured by something other than our efforts, and our identity is determined by something different than our achievements. We are, by the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, children of God. I think we have misunderstood Christian vocation or calling for a long, long time. And it has had tragic consequences, not only for us, but for our whole society. Vocation is what we do for a living, only in a secondary sense. In A Treatise on the Vocations, the great Puritan theologian William Perkins explained that vocation was less about what we do than it is about how and why we do it. Though we might work as teachers or lawyers or coaches or professors or farmers or sanitation workers, parents or children, the more fundamental central calling that we have is that we have been called to be children of God, a member of Christ, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, and that makes all the difference, the how and why we do the everyday, ordinary things we do. In his reflection on the fifth commandment, "You shall keep the Sabbath holy," John Calvin describes it as a central feature of a truly human life. For him, the Sabbath is not merely a day, it is a way of life. He writes, and here I quote, "We are to meditate throughout life upon an everlasting Sabbath rest from all our works, that the Lord may work in us through the Spirit." You see, according to John Calvin, we rest so that the Lord may work in us and through us. Martin Luther, who started this whole Protestant Reformation thing, described the vocation of the children of God this way. And here again I quote, "Although I am an unworthy and condemned man, my God has given me in Christ all the riches of righteousness and salvation without any merit on my part, out of pure, free mercy, so that from now on, I need nothing except faith, which believes that this is true. Why should I not, therefore, with all my heart, freely and joyfully do all the things which I know are pleasing and acceptable to such a Father who has overwhelmed me with his inestimable riches? I will therefore give myself as a Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself to me. I will do nothing in this life except what I see is necessary, profitable, and salutary to my neighbor, since through faith I already have an abundance of all good things in Christ." Brothers and sisters, whatever your stage of life, whether you are young or you are old, whether you are a newborn or whether you are already retired, whether you have a prominent position or you just lost your job, may you be born again. May you retire from the rat race. May you realize that you are children of God, set free to joyfully love and serve without anxiety or fear. Perhaps if we rest so that God can work in us, the divine medicine of God's grace may spread throughout society and inoculate us all against the Protestant work ethic. Amen.
And now, in response to God's word,